What's going on with dance and stuff? What's happening with dance and things? What's going on? What's happening? What's going on with dance and stuff?
Okay, we're here.
I'm here as well on Thursday, the something of January.
Yes, the middle of January. We're doing it. We're getting through.
We really are doing it.
It's cold.
It's so cold. And it's nice to experience cold again.
Oh, yes. I'm silver lining playbook this thing, yeah. Too. Just imagining the ticks dying. Because apparently, supposedly, yes. 3 days of freezing is required to
have
any effect.
You got it. They're dead.
I mean, they're not eradicated, but they're. I think it helps. Who knows? This is probably completely untrue, but
we're helping me. We're at that phase of cold in Manhattan where, like, the concrete turns pale gray. You know, it looks sort of...
Wow. It's dried out.
Like, dried. Everything is dried out. You know, like, the next step will be, like, that there are little ice crystals floating in the air, which is what used to happen in Calgary when I lived there. You'd go out in the morning, the sun would be shining, frozen. And you... Yeah, the air is fully frozen.
I saw the first 1 inch of snow in 700 days or something.
Oh my god.
Wow.
We have snow and it's stuck because it's so cold. But the streets are ice skating rinks, but without, the guardrails. No guardrails.
Did you have a sunny day yesterday? Because it was very sunny here, melted things-ish.
It did not melt things here because it was just
cold, but I think the rooftop things.
An icicle.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah, the sun was nice. It helped move me around because I had to get from place to place to place yesterday. So sure. It was nice to at least have the sun. But at any rate, one time I was in northern Sweden as the seasons changed from like autumn to like we're just getting to winter.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, this is let the right one in. It's like so cold, so dry.
I'm assuming you're not because True Detective.
Oh, I've not started.
Wow.
I love
takes place in Atlanta in Alaska. Atlaska.
Takes place in Alaska.
And it's just incredible. Alaska. And I'm obsessed. And with this cold weather, it's just perfect. You're just like,
I'll get right on it. Look. I'm really glad to see Jodie Foster's picture on more than one project.
So she's titled episode, Jodie Foster, because I also watched Naiad.
Wow.
Which I highly recommend. It's a kind of bizarre, impossible movie that exists. So
you did a Jodie Foster adventure this week.
Yeah. And I would love to stay there. It's very nice.
Well, I'll get on it, and then I'm going to sort of switch my viewing over to Jodie Foster this week, because I don't have anything going on. Because Girls ended. I finished.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, it was sad. I was like, wow, it's over.
Yeah.
I really appreciated how it ends with a kind of fizzle. I was like...
Well, she moves upstate. Good. Becomes an adult.
It was like... Well, she's still acting like a fucking asshole, but...
Well, she's still a mess, but she's a mother and she has a job and life is hard.
One does get the sense that she'll never change, but she's up there. I it's amazing that they chose to like not do a grand finale. They were just like, look, only three of the characters will be there and then it'll be over. You're like, wow, that's bold.
I mean... Rewatching that show now, I was like, because she, I think there's a party in Tivoli, I think is a line. and I'm really like, she literally moves up here and kind of goes into this other thing.
And then that's because she's keeping Marnie prisoner, even though she's basically like, do whatever you want. I didn't ask you to come here. And then Marnie's like, I want to go to Tivoli for the night to go to a party with live jazz. And Lena Dunham's like, well, you can't.
Well, but it is this thing of like, I actually know that you're not here for me. Like that's the rub of that scenario where it's like, she's just continues to run away from reality.
Well, she's there. Yeah, she's there because it's convenient for her and it makes her feel of use.
Right.
But at any rate, what a beautiful, wonderful, incredible show. And the kind of penultimate episode where you get to see them, like, find a bit of youth for the last time before this last grim episode. It's just so amazing.
And what is that? Shoshana, what happens there?
Lena Dunham ends up at Shoshana's engagement party, which she was not invited to.
Yes.
And they're all there, and they haven't been around each other in a while. And Shoshana's just like, you weren't invited. We're no longer friends. Like, this unit does not serve any of us. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm going to go off and have a new life with these people out there who have, like, nice bags. And, like, this is... She's like, and this is over. Uh-huh. And she's like, enjoy the party. And then, like, Jessa and Hannah kind of make up in a way. They, like, apologize to one another, and then they dance. They, like, have a good time at the party, and that's the end of Girls. And then the last episode is basically, like, Mom. Like, it's, like, motherhood. So... really genius. Really one of the great American television shows. I'm just so happy to have gone through that again.
Yeah. We're still in X-Files, which is really an incredible thing as well. It's just...
What are like, you it's talking crazy. About?
Like, every episode of X-Files is like...
You're watching X-Files?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Incredible.
Did you start at the beginning?
I think
we're
in like season 5.
You started in the mid 90s.
Well, we're in season 5 now, you know.
I'm so amazed.
It is amazing. Cuz it really like takes every genre. It's all over the place. Every episode's like what kind of show is this going to be today?
Are some of them funny?
Half of them are funny.
Oh, interesting. There are
a lot of, like, parodies and, you know, and then there are these, like, very alien episodes and very government conspiracy episodes, but a lot of comedy.
Wow. One of the most iconic theme songs ever written for television.
Sure.
Yeah. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Doodly-doodly-doodly.
Jodie Foster, though. Jodie Foster. Silence of the Lambs. Silence of the Lambs.
But Jodie Foster's not in the X-Files.
She probably is. Like, most people are. There's so many episodes. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's how I felt about Girls. I was like, oh, so just like everyone pops up at some point. Through. I was so pleased that Patrick Wilson popped back up, which I'd forgotten. To tell Hannah she's pregnant, which I thought... Of course, beautiful.
Incredible. So
beautiful. Yeah. Well, congratulations on your thing at the Guggenheim.
Yes. Wow.
That your discussion with Linda was a delight, and it's always lovely to see Nomi up there performing.
Yeah, she's the best.
And to see Linda in a sequin coat was really amazing. And then to see Lloyd in all his absolute glory up there was so tremendous. One forgets. If you haven't seen Lloyd dance in a little while, you forget how excellent they are.
It's pretty wild.
Thank you.
It's quite
the... I'm sorry about the projector.
yeah, it's an unfortunate thing happened where something happened to the projector between the morning tech and the evening show. And they didn't seem to know what caused the problem, but I mean, there was still a projection and, you know, people just assumed that that's how it was chosen to look.
Yeah, we all assumed that. We all thought, oh, well,
that's how performances work, isn't it?
Yeah, that
what you see is
like,
what you think it is.
Is the choice that the person making it made. But I'm sorry that you did not make that choice.
I did not make that choice, and I worked really hard for it to not be like that. So for it to be like that was rather disappointing.
That's painful.
But
that is painful.
But, you know, the projection is not more important than the overall show, and I thought the overall show went very well, so I
was... It did go well.
Happy with that.
It did go well.
Yeah.
It was a little overwhelming to be at the Guggenheim with a gathering of so many people I know.
Yeah,
it was
so
actually
that.
Like...
We didn't have seats to sit.
There were people there that I was like, whoa, didn't even think I'd possibly see you here. You know, like that kind of.
Yeah, I didn't even see the people who I knew were there. That's how many people there were. That's what it felt
like. Wow.
So that's good. Oh, that's good.
That's great. That's really great.
There's little as depressing as making a live show, turns out. But we dream. What is the line? What is Lloyd's? I dream and I believe.
Is that what Lloyd says in the show?
I think that's the end of the first monologue.
Oh,
I dream and I believe.
I dream and I believe. I dream.
Yeah. It's a lot of very strange things in the show.
I had some dreams last night.
Oh, yeah?
I've been having some dreams, but...
I've been dreaming, too, which is not a thing that I do.
I had a provocative dream last night. I'm not going to share. You don't even know who's involved. But it wasn't, like... It wasn't fun, but it was sexual.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. But it wasn't scary either. Okay. It was just kind of like, oh. and then I, in another dream, saw some of my Australia friends. And I was like, oh, that's nice.
I guess I've been, you know, thinking about escape routes. In Australia really seems like the ticket.
Well, it's as far away as you can get.
As far away as possible.
Yeah.
The other thought I had about politics is I wonder how, because of like the structural organization of the United States, that there are like these state powers. I wonder if, how, when, where. No, I'm just curious in terms of like genocide, if the state would have any power. Basically, is Kathy going to protect me? That's my question. Kathy.
Oh, interesting.
Can you protect me?
yeah. I hope.
I kind of think that there's something in that. I don't know exactly.
I mean, look, Colorado's like, he can't be on our ballot. I'm like,
okay.
Oh, that's fierce.
So on that note, there's this Ezra Klein podcast that I listened to while I painted the ceiling of the kitchen. And the guy was...
Yellow?
This kind of... what ends up looking like gray. It's not the right color.
Oh.
But,
oh, okay. And it's in contrast to the walls.
Yeah, it's a little darker.
Oh, wow.
It looks great. It's just not the right color. So...
Okay.
But he was talking about basically how this whole argument around the whatever this constitutional thing about not being able to be on the ballot because of an insurrection. I forget what it's called, whatever that amendment or whatever is. But basically, this came to light because these Federalist people, right? Is that what they're called? The Federalist Judge Movement people, these right wing, what have yous. They, you know, so it's like the conservative side of the court, like those kinds of people were looking at it based on that kind of legal relationship to rulings or whatever. And they were the ones that were like, Donald, according to this, in our reading, which should align with how these nightmare Supreme Court judges think of, suppose, you know, in theory, the hypocrisy. But essentially, like, Donald Trump shouldn't be allowed on the ballot, according to this law or whatever. Okay. Which I found really fascinating because, yeah. So, and the guy was also like, the Supreme Court taking this decision to not allow Trump on the ballot based on this law seems like the least kind of crazy scenario that right. could come from this situation.
Is they're doing that? Is there going to be a...
The Supreme Court is going to hear this case.
When? After the election.
Sometime.
After the election's over.
Because now a lot of, because like, you know, this litigation's happening in most states, but now basically everything is being like, we're going to wait to see what the Supreme Court says. Because even the main ruling, because the other complicated thing here is that every state has a kind of different process under which the ballot is determined. So like in Colorado, it was more of a court kind of thing, but in Maine, it was just the Secretary of State. So in Maine, I think there was a judge who ruled that the Secretary of State's decision wouldn't go into effect until the Supreme Court rules on the case.
I see.
So,
oh God. Well, you know,
these timelines and stuff is crazy. But
seems like the Supreme Court is bad, and I don't have any faith in them. So,
yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are expecting them to take a kind of like back door path around this rather than like sort of not ruling about it. So.
Yeah, of course. They'll be like, well, because he hired all of us, we literally can't rule on it.
Oh, my God. I'm just like, this person needs to be in prison.
Get out of here. It's just like, it's very unpleasant to like wake up and be like, Iowa is obsessed. And you're like, yeah, we get it.
Yeah. I mean, who cares what Iowa thinks?
Yeah. I just don't want to, like, keep waking up and being like, well, landslide victory yet again. And you're like, I know
well,
that already.
Another take on that was that a former president just barely got half of the votes in a primary. That's, like, not great.
Is that true?
Yeah, Donald Trump was a president once. I know, hard to believe.
No. But I thought that he got Iowa in a landslide in the primary.
Well, I think getting 50% of the vote in like a multi-person primary is in normal times like a landslide.
Oh, I didn't realize it was only 50%. I thought he got like 90%.
I think it was like 50%.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So,
all right. Well, yeah. We'll see how this goes. Oh boy!
Yeah, I think we can absolutely expect Donald Trump to get the Republican nomination.
Oh my God! So in the case, okay, let's imagine he gets the Republican nomination, and then the Supreme Court is like, actually, can't be on the ballot. Then what happens?
I don't know. You know, I think it will be very different if that's, like, before or after the Republican convention.
Right. Well, they better get this. I mean, everybody, just go. Just do the thing. Take your notes. Do your research. Yeah. Write your paper. Rule on the thing. Do
I
it.
I think we need Donald Trump to not be allowed on the ballot and to be sent to prison.
Definitely. Like, that's
those two
actually
things should happen.
Those
and
are the
maybe
most
we'll
logical
have
things.
A, you know, Nikki Haley 2024 presidency.
That won't happen. I mean, that's the kind of great thing, is that, like, there's no way any of these other clowns would win.
Well, we would be back to something more familiar.
Yeah, more, like, conventional
these,
kind,
like,
of election.
Just kind of a normal, horrific election. You know, like,
yeah,
a Sarah Palin universe,
yeah,
of insanity. yeah. It's wild. Anyway, what else?
Well, I somehow continue to attempt to watch this absolutely bad show called For All Mankind on Apple Television, which proposes that the Russians won the space race, and then, like, what are the implications moving forward?
Uh-huh.
And now we're kind of, like, in 2006 or something. Anyways, it also proposes that because of that, Al Gore does end up winning the presidency and gets a couple terms.
Well, didn't he already, you know, and then the Supreme Court was like, you know, there's another scenario in which the Supreme Court has decided who gets to be president.
Insane. Making bad choices all the time.
yeah, really, so gives you're still watching pause. That show. Yeah, I think I'm really excited. There's some really bad, like, movement direction in True Detective, but other than that,
like, dancing?
Pretty obsessed. Kind of like,
oh,
dancing.
Interesting. Isn't it? Interesting.
I watched this
week,
Carrie Coons. Is that her name?
Yeah.
I watched this movie with Carrie Coons in it and Jude Law that's on Netflix called The Nest.
Is it old?
It's, I want to say, from 2020.
Oh,
whatever
just
that
the other
means.
Day? COVID.
But it also could be from 2022 or any other year. It's a kind of movie where you're like, when is the plot going to start? But I found it kind of interesting because of that. I was like, what? Where is the plot of this movie? What a mystery.
Wow. Some Terrence Malick tone poem thing.
Yeah, if, like, Terrence Malick had made Saltburn.
Oh, dear.
Kind of.
Wow. You know, it was nice, like, I was listening to, I listen to podcasts. Do you know that
about
me?
Yeah.
And I was listening to, sometimes I listen to Las Culturistas.
I only listen to them when I'm painting, it turns out.
Oh, interesting. Anyways, they were on the other day, and they were discussing Saltburn, and it was just, like,
okay,
it was a relief to hear other people hate that movie. And I was like, yeah, good, okay.
Wait, on what podcast?
Las Culturistas.
I thought they liked that movie.
No, they did not.
They really hated Maestro.
They did hate
and
Maestro.
And then they started, like, complimenting Saltburn, and I was like, I can't listen to this.
It does almost start as a compliment that turns into, like, what
okay.
the...
Okay.
What is this?
Because yeah. I was really like, I can't... Like, their well, discussion of Maestro was so absurd to me.
It also starts with, like, them being like, Saltburn is a gorgeous movie, like, every frame.
Yes.
And I'm like, no.
That's where I was like, I'm
not,
out. I need to go find... I need
you're
to go
like,
listen to, like... depressing politics if this is what's going
you're
on.
Like, you've not seen Corsage. Like, the Saltburn is not a good looking movie. It's
you know
a bad
what Saltburn
movie.
is a fashion-y kind of movie. That's what it is. It's shot in the style of fashion.
It's ugly.
Oh, which reminds
bad,
me of another movie I
it's
watched.
A bad ugly movie. What
Killers of the Flower Moon.
Oh, interesting. I have really... I don't know if I could push play on something like that.
I think it is a really, excellently told story. And it doesn't feel... It didn't feel long to me.
Okay.
I think the plot takes that much time. And that's okay.
Okay.
I thought it was really great. But I also... And I was watching a YouTube video last night with this Native American commentator talking about the movie, which I... Because I was... I sort of had a problem with the focus of these two white guys. It was interesting because this person was saying, basically, I guess that's been a consistent criticism. Uh-huh. But that originally, Scorsese was going to have it be focused on the FBI, even more uh-huh. like white savior.
Uh-huh.
And moved it to these characters. But, I mean, it's a brutal, horrendous story should be told. And, it's good that it's being told. Right. And, the point that this person makes in this YouTube video is also that the way that the movie is structured is pretty explicit that this movie is for white people. Like, it is to instructive. Learn. Yes. That it's, there to instruct people.
I see.
So, okay. Which I also thought, if you want people to watch a movie, you pick, the most famous actors you can find.
Right. And you say, look at this. Look.
I mean, Lily Gladstone is incredible. She's
Lily Gladstone.
She was also in Certain Women, which I know you slept during.
I really did.
But
really
she was absolutely incredible in that movie.
Oh, I see. As well. I'm looking at a picture of her now.
I think she won the Golden Globe.
Yeah, she did.
She's incredible in this movie, and it's sort of third billing, I guess.
Right. Who's the second man? Leo?
And
then
De Niro.
Oh, Robert De Niro. Goodness gracious. All right. Maybe I'll have to watch that. But, I've got my work ahead of me with True Detective.
Yeah, there's only one episode out.
Oh, gorgeous. Yeah. Thank goodness.
Yeah, just came out.
So this week, I don't know that I'll do Naiad.
And I think you'll love, the costumes and, the Osage culture mm-hmm. is really, it's so... Gorge.
Mm.
So
okay. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna watch a movie. I would like to also see the holdovers.
Yeah, I don't that's Alexander Payne, right?
Yeah.
I think I find his content rather cloying.
But didn't he do Election and Citizen Ruth?
I think so.
Oh well, fine films.
I think Nebraska and lots of popular successful movies. I just find them a little the tone is not for me. And but I would watch. I searched it out. I think it's on Peacock or something. Pay for.
I'll pay money for it. It's okay.
Killers of the Flower Moon is on Apple TV, I believe, right now.
I did notice this. I said, there she blows.
I almost went to see All of Us Strangers at the theater last night.
I want you to do that because I am...
Okay.
I continue to think about it.
Okay. I just felt like I was trying to watch things yesterday and I felt so... impatient, and I was like, I don't think I'm in the right mood to go see a movie.
Right. Look, I honor my feeling to not like that movie mm-hmm. Because that was what I felt.
Yeah.
But But I'm also impressed that, like, I've now thought about it quite a bit since and been like, oh, okay, interesting. It wasn't just what you think it's going to be. It actually is something else.
Yeah, that was sort of my complaint about the Los Culturistas' critique of Maestro, where I was like, just because this isn't the movie you wanted it to be doesn't mean it's a bad movie. If you want to make a different kind of movie, then go make that movie. But you can't ask someone, you know, it's that Bob Dylan line I constantly think about, like, you just want me to say what you want me to say. Right. Well, go say
there
it yourself.
There is this, like, consistent criticism about that movie that it, like, it behaves like all these other star vehicle biopics where they do all this, like, crazy dialogue where they, like, contextualize a whole person's, like, accomplishments. But it only does that for about 10 minutes. And then the rest of the movie has all of this, like, wonderful, natural dialogue that just feels like you're looking in on a real marriage. It's kind of great.
I felt like that kind of conversation seems more appropriate in that time period. That, like, there was, like, a different way of speaking as well. So I think I was a little, like, yes, also, like, I don't want to watch a movie that's just, like, about this person. So
I mean,
let's just get the information out there and then, like, move on.
Yeah, they did move on. But it did have to have that moment at the party. It was like, oh, the Leonard Bernstein who conducts the New York Philharmonic and won the thing at the age of 25. And, you know, like, when they did that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay. But, you know, they needed to get the info to the people somehow.
Yeah.
Anyways, I had a positive experience with Maestro, which was a surprise to me.
Yeah, which also what drove me crazy was them thinking that A Star Is Born was a good movie. I thought, well, you're absolutely wrong.
A Star Is Born was a great performance from Lady Gaga, which I think she gave, like, a supernatural performance, which was a surprise.
Well, that is kind of, I mean, all of the A Star Is Borns are bad. They're all bad movies, but they have tremendous leading lady performances. That's why they keep making them.
Yeah, let's do it again
for different reasons. But you know, it's like what I think of Whitney Houston's music, where I'm like, she is incredible. All of the music behind her is bad all the time. Why?
Is that true?
Yeah, listen to the music. Wow. I just pulled up some YouTube thing and I was like, it's like a child is playing the music, like on a, like a little, it's so bad.
I want to dance with somebody, okay?
They need to, like, redo all the background music.
Oh, that'd be fun to take on as a new album. Just, like, all these Whitney Houston vocals with, like, radically changed orchestration.
Please. Please. Somebody do it.
Like.
It's, like, really, like, you know. Hot take. One of the most tremendous voices ever.
Where was the place? Where did you film Lloyd on that cliff? Was that in Montauk?
That was in Montauk.
It's very beautiful. Goodness, it was very
it was
Portrait
the dream.
Of a Lady on
it was
Fire.
Like literally what, you know, what we wanted. I mean,
you
it wasn't
it.
Exactly,
found
but
it.
Pretty close. Yeah.
Did you have to, like, step over a chain barrier to let
no.
Lloyd walk out?
No.
No, just, no. Just allowed.
It was right next to the parking lot.
Obsessed.
Yeah, it was worked out.
And you didn't have any
There's
other
so
people?
There's so much footage. There's, like, it's crazy how much footage I have.
Okay.
So. You know, there were people, like, walking around and, like, watching. Yeah.
Oh, I see. I went to the Whitney. I saw the Ruth Asawa drawing show.
I don't know what that is.
Ruth Asawa was from an American Japanese family that was put into the internment camps during World War II and then subsequently went to art school and, like, became a kind of a very sort of obsessive poetic drawer, and she did all these like insane ink drawings and really good, really nice, decorative, beautiful stuff. Excellent hand at drawing. And it was a kind of thing that you could kind of just breeze your way right through, and it was nice.
Just a vibe.
A vibe. What else happened? I went away for the weekend with the Cassie Jesse group. And to the house in East Hampton. Oh. And not that house, to our friend Carrie's mom's house in East Hampton. And we, we just like ate, did needlepoint, watched girls, did quizzes. It was lovely. Sure. We looked at the ocean. I've never seen the ocean look so cinematic, like gray froth spraying huge waves. Yes. It was absolutely amazing.
What was that? Was that the crazy weather moment? That feels so long ago.
When it was so windy?
Maybe that was 2 weeks ago. I have no idea.
Yeah. I mean, it was so windy and it was beautiful. We had a wonderful time. I did the meatballs again, the Bon Appetit meatballs, and they were even better this time because I was careful not to put too much of the raw onion. I really stuck to like I think they say like around a quarter cup or something grated, but I stuck to it and it was better. They were more held together.
Okay.
Have you done these? Did we talk about that?
I'm very vague on this situation. We did talk about these.
The wet meatballs.
But I have not made them.
Oh, okay. I did them at Christmas time for my family, and then I redid them again over the weekend, and they were
exquisite. What is the recipe? Who's the recipier?
I can't remember. It's a woman at Bon Appetit, and they're called like, I'll send it to you. They're called like very tender meatballs or something. Okay.
I made a meatloaf with a, Beyond Burger. Impossible or whatever, some kind of, okay. Which I like the taste of it. It's its own thing. The problem with it is that it doesn't play nicely. It really takes over, which is sort of like fortunate that I like the taste of it. But it was delicious.
It was delicious.
And, also, that, my, like, oatmeal fried rice vibe thing.
Yes.
There was leftovers at some point, and I had it the next day, and I thought, this is so incredible. What does this taste like? I realized it tasted like stuffing.
Incredible.
Heaven. Just like the kind of warm hug of a stuffing.
We just don't get enough stuffing to have it once a year. So it's to feel so crazy. Like
this is a heart healthy stuffing hug.
Do you think next year you can do oatmeal stuffing for the turkey?
I think you really can.
Wow. You've invented something.
It's quite the thing. And it's, it can be whatever, in the same way as stuffing. It could be whatever you want it to be.
Wow-wee.
That's great.
Oh, wow. I'm going to try to see Dynasty Handbag tonight at night.
I saw the video of the last show of this.
It is sold out, so I am going to get on the wait list this afternoon and hope for the best.
Is it? It's not at Pioneer Works again.
It's at New York Live Arts.
New York Live. Oh, that sounds... I mean, it looked amazing in the documentation at Pioneer Works. But also, kind of impossible to actually see the show. So it was impressive to see documentation of all those people in the giant room. But, doesn't. I don't know that New York Live Arts is the best venue for this. Because it's kind of like a movie. So I don't...
Yeah.
The idea of looking kind of down into that hole doesn't seem
ideal. What was I going to tell you? Oh, I have taken to watching this insane thing on YouTube called Ballerina Farm.
Uh-oh. What is this?
And it's, the focus of it is this beautiful blonde woman who was a, who went to Juilliard and I guess was a professional dancer who then decided to like return to her kind of Utah Mormon roots, but not as just like a, not just as a baby maker, which she is. She's made 8 of them.
Goodness.
But also as a kind of homesteader who's teaching people about like returning to a more holistic way of consuming and like eating food and understanding where your food comes from by like having milk cows and chickens and like sheep and all these things. So
okay,
she's milking cows and she's making sourdough starter and she's
doing ballet.
Cooking. There's actually no ballet in sight.
Okay. It's just her past. It's just a gimmick.
It's her past. It's the gimmick of, it's just the name of the thing. And she and her husband are now like having a full dairy ranch and they're selling meats and they're, you know, it's
are
like,
the children slaves?
They're not slaves yet. I think some of them are doing some work, but there are babies everywhere. They are making such a mess and she has so much patience. It's actually crazy. Like, there are times in these videos where I'm like, I literally can't watch this. I cannot watch a baby, like, attempting to pour rennet in the, you know, like, it's just so scary. But she just, like, she is absolutely fine doing these very precision-based, like,
well, it's like maneuvers that mansion
with kids
person
everywhere. Like, oh, yeah, it is exactly like that. Right? She has surrounded by, like, people making a mess, and she's like, it's okay. It's very impressive. I find it both disturbing and kind of amazing at once.
Yeah.
And like there's a video where she
Ballerina Farmer? What is it called?
Ballerina Farm.
Wow.
And there's an episode where she goes out and just milks their dairy cow in the winter. Uh-huh. And she, like, cleans the teats and then she, like, milks 1.5 gallons of milk and then she shows this amazing thing where, like, when you get to the end, you just, like, have a cup with you that has some, like, maple syrup and something else in it, and you put the last of the milk from the udders into that cup because it's, like, the creamiest part of the milking, and then you just, like, drink it straight up, and I was like, give me that milk. The whole, like, fresh milk thing is something I've never experienced, and I want it. I'm like, I want the warm milk. I want to have the raw milk in the house that separates into the cream. You know, there's a crazy.
That's what I grew up with. It's not that incredible.
My God.
You know what I mean?
Really?
I mean,
maybe you're not remembering because it's just what you were used to, but like her Jersey cow that makes like the yellowiest butter you ever saw. Like it looks amazing.
Well, we'll go to Churchtown Dairy and we can get you some raw milk.
Thank you. But I want it warm and fresh out of the udders.
That's not
going
to happen, but...
I want to milk a cow. Okay, I'm saying it here. I want to milk a cow. And then she does a thing. There's an episode where she makes butter in her KitchenAid, and it truly is the messiest thing I've ever seen. And, like, the kids are just... Everyone's just covered in milk. It's not great, but she does make butter.
Okay, I'm definitely going to look for this.
Yeah. Yeah. There's an episode where she makes mozzarella cheese, and you're like, this is a huge accident waiting to happen. Because it's just, like, boiling water around babies, and you're like, get them off the counter.
Well, you gotta learn sometime. I'm currently reading Flowers in the Attic.
Oh, weird. Wow.
It's wild.
Wow. That is a creep-tastic moment.
It's very bizarre. Like,
very.
You know, the kind of, like, adolescent, you know, young reader-ness of it is
It's really like, did this actually happen to someone that they could make up a story this crazy?
Probably, but I think this is just a work of fiction. You know, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. The whole V.C. Andrews thing is curious. And there's a, you know, it's a part of a series.
Oh, I did not know this.
But, I mean...
Did you ever read Flowers for Algernon, speaking of flower-based titles?
That's what I said to Jack, where I was like, I think I, like, always sort of, like, thought they were the same thing.
No, very different.
Because we read Flowers for Algernon in this middle school right. or something.
But, like, can they have us read that in middle school?
I know. Strange.
It's literally like a sexual awakening for a person who was like, you know, like mentally other.
It's very, very strange.
Very strange. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know. I mean, I wonder what kids are reading these days. iPad for dummies.
Totally.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Flowers for Algernon. There must be a film version of that. There must be, right?
I think there is, and I think we watched it. Because, like, you know, I think you only read books where there's a movie of it.
Because that's the payoff.
Yeah, and then the teacher can take a nap in the corner or whatever.
Wow, it's tricky.
Show movies.
I remember once being at boy choir school, and it was like a... On the weekends at boy choir school, we would have, like, you know, the afternoon to, like, cozy up in the common room and watch a film, you know, where they'd put in a VHS.
Yeah.
And I remember one Saturday or Sunday, suddenly we're on the sofas and Last of the Mohicans goes in.
Wow.
And then 10 minutes in, it is promptly removed by a house parent. They said, absolutely not. So much murder.
Oh, I'm sorry. Too much murder. I mean...
Sorry.
Obviously.
Yeah, I guess they just didn't know. I mean, I wonder if it's PG, if it's a PG-rated film. I mean, we were predominantly under the age of 13, so...
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't know how that happened. It was... It slipped through the cracks. It slipped through the cracks, let's be honest. And sometimes that happened, but kids have to learn, you know, kids have to learn at some point.
The truth of history. Yeah.
That you have to watch history through the lens of an absolutely white British person or playing Irish, British, playing a Native American.
Aye,
indeed. But them's was the 90s. That was the 90s.
Yeah,
and the early 90s.
Still now, you know, essentially.
In a way.
Let's be done.
I think so.
Yeah. I feel like we've been delivering endlessly long episodes. So
truly, just full of gems, quite frankly. It is winter, and...
And that's the story.
That's the story. And I've been really confusing feeling cold for feeling hungry. So.
Oh, I didn't realize that, but I think that's absolutely what's going on over here, too.
You're like, burr, I'm hungry. Oh my gosh, I probably keep eating. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Burr, I'm hungry is burr, the theme I'm of hungry. This winter.
Burr, I have to eat.
Yeah. That, like, put on another sweatshirt. Like, literally put the soup on the stove.
Right, put something hot inside.
Yeah. Yeah, immediately cook a whole pound of ravioli and eat them all.
We haven't had pasta in a while. We've been doing lots of, like, huge salad. Oh, there's also this New York Times article I just sent to Jack, because it's, like, Mediterranean diet. So it's like very whole grains, fruits and vegetables, nuts, and which is actually just sort of the direction we've been going in. I think the vegetarian thing is like pushed towards that.
Well, the Mediterranean diet in the winter is difficult, to say the least.
Well, so the salads have become very like celery and radicchio and...
Oh, delicious.
Fennel, you know, very like hearty. Yeah.
Yeah.
With like
well, I love that.
Lots of acidity.
Yeah.
Which is so sort of strange. But yeah, citrus, been, you know, sort of like, oh, but it's described in Flowers in the Attic as like,
oh no.
you know, like an orange is like a, like,
so precious.
Like captured the sun or something, because they can't look outside or whatever. So it's
crazy. Well, they literally, I mean, they have full like anemia, like malnutrition, like they, you know, prisoners.
Yeah, I'm not that far yet. They just got there.
Oh, okay.
And realizing that their father is their like great uncle or something.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. Something complicated like that. So right. Yeah, enjoy the winter wonderland.
Yep, New York City Ballet is about to start up again. Get your tickets.
Are they showing some Pam works?
Not till the spring.
Right, so but spring is time. In like March or something. They do a right. Winter. They do winter in end of January. How does this work?
Right,
this is always right. Very so right strange now, to me.
Winter season starts and it goes for like because
they
a
do
month
what?
And a half.
Wait, so there's a fall season, a winter season, and a spring season.
Right, and then summer oh, is kind okay. of when they tour and regroup a little bit.
Right. Okay.
And then we're right back into the fall. It's just like La La Land. It's spring, summer, fall, winter,
oh my
spring.
God.
Yeah, and you thought, no one asked
delete
for that.
Delete this movie. Delete it.
Delete.
Delete it.
Wow.
Yesterday, Jack okay. realized that they have next week off as well. Which
oh
I did not
my.
Realize.
For what?
Which was like a huge, for teaching. The semester doesn't
no,
start until
like,
the following week.
Oh my god. Oh, I thought you meant there was like some kind of holiday. I was like, what's
no,
the occasion?
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
They thought they had to go back to teaching on Monday, but they do not. What a discovery.
I also remade that Claire Saffitz prune mascarpone cake that you can just get the recipe
how
online
are you,
for.
How do you eat these cakes and
No.
Things.
That was for the gathering out in the Hamptons for 8 people,
oh, okay.
So it wasn't we all just got a sliver.
Goodness.
But it was, to make it correctly, it's actually an incredible cake.
I mean, everything she does. I watched some video of, like, the wedding in Texas.
I love that.
Which I think was on the Patreon. I think they're
so
releasing
yeah,
Patreon.
Yeah, it was, and then it moved. I hope one day they release this crazy apple dessert that she just made on the Patreon, where she, like, scooped out the stem core area of the apple, but all the way down to the bottom, just leaving a little bit of apple down there so it held together.
Okay.
And then she then she poached the apple.
Okay.
And then she filled the poached apple with like this like toffee nut mixture, and then she wrapped the apple in pie dough like a dumpling.
No.
And then she baked it in the oven. So you get this beautiful like parcel wrapped pie apple, and it was like she as she
Isn't
was tasting
apple
it
apple very wet
no because like it's once it comes out of the poaching liquid you let it sit for a long time so
okay.
it's just like not yeah
like a potato
and then because it's already cooked it's like sort of released most of its juices
yeah.
And then watching her eat it she was like I have to say this is texturally one of the best things I've ever made. And it's, like, a perfect thing for a fancy dinner.
Heaven. You can do it?
Yeah. At some point in my life. But it's, like, the kind of thing. It's a commitment. You have to make, like, 2 recipes worth of pie dough.
Right.
You know, it's serious.
Well, you don't have to make that many.
No, she only made 6, but still it was, like, looked laborious. And even she
yeah.
was, like, this is not an easy thing to do. But
it's good, because one shouldn't be eating all that stuff.
No. Anyways, thank you, Claire. Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you, Lloyd and
listeners.
Jack.
Thank you, listeners. Thank you, universe.
Thank you, Snow. Thank you, Moon. Thank you, Line Dance, quite frankly. I mean,
absolutely.
Thank you.
Gotta keep moving.
All
right,
really.
Until next week. We love you. Happy
Bye-bye.
Winter.
We loves you, Burr. I'm hungry.
Gotta eat.
Oh.